Bibles and turn to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 1. And our text is verse 4 right now. It said, "And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north." Remember looking at the meaning of the word whirlwind as used here in our text, because that's what we're concerned about. It is the same word that is translated spirit. In fact, 232 times it is translated spirit. And so, as is our text, spells out that it is a vision of God. It is the Spirit of God. It is a vision of God that he sees in this whirlwind. Last week we began to look at the cloud which he mentions here. He said, "A great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber out of the midst of the fire, a great cloud." And that is symbolic of God covering His glory, clouding His glory. We read passages of Scripture in the book of Exodus, and in particular the passage with Moses, and Moses desiring to see the face of God and the glory of God, and God told him that he would not see his glory. He'd not see his face, but he would let him see a part of his glory, a glimpse, if you please, of his glory by looking on his back parts. Then we started to get into the fire. Out of this cloud was a fire, or in the midst of the cloud was a fire, which is a revelation, just as in of God. God revealed himself in the midst of the burning bush to Moses. God revealed himself, appeared to the children of Israel in a pillar of fire on Mount Sinai, and he spoke to them from the mount. Spoke to them at least the Ten Commandments and however much more that he gave unto them. And it said there in the passage of Scripture that it was great thunderings as he spoke, and the children of Israel were afraid, and they said, "We don't want him to speak any more to us. He speak to you, Moses, but not to us." They were afraid of it. We said that this was a fire enfolding itself, just as our verse said. In the word "enfolding" there means a wrapping, a clasping around. It wrapped itself around in the cloud so that its full luster, its full brightness could not be seen. The fire of God's glory shines forth, but it quickly enfolds itself, and part of that is due to us being in this flesh, being in this body of clay, this sinful body, and just as the children of Israel were not to proceed beyond the boundary set because they would die, we could not look full on to the glory of God in this flesh. God doesn't permit it, but one day, and we will be dealing with that some more as we continue on in this part. But right now he only lets us know parts of his ways. And this includes his wrath. We think about the wrath of God and being poured out, and right now we just see parts of his power, parts of His glory in His wrath being poured out. Now, the next thing that we want to notice concerning this fire is it is surrounded with a glory. Our verse said it is surrounded with a glory, a brightness. It says a brightness was about it. Can't you just begin to get the picture already? There's a cloud. And in the midst of this cloud, there's a fire. And this fire is wrapping itself around, so you can't get the full luster, the full glory of it, the full brightness of it. And out of this cloud, maybe the edges of it, there's a brightness that is about it, that is glowing for it. Maybe like a, not an apt picture, I thought maybe it's like the fire behind the cloud and then the fire, how the radiance would radiate outside the edges of the cloud. The fire is in the cloud and there's a brightness about it. Even though it's not the full glory and the full brightness, there's a brightness about it. You can just see it kind of radiating in the clouds. Well, I guess there is a likeness. Sometimes you see flashes of lightning, especially at night, through the clouds. And there's a brightness about it in that. We cannot see into the fire. We cannot, by searching, find out God. Not to perfection. We are to look in the Word of God, and we're to search into the Word of God, and we get glimpses of Him. We get glimpses of that fire, but not to perfection. We'll read some scriptures that will give you an inkling of an idea. Turn with me to the book of Job in chapter 11. The book of Job in chapter 11. And the scripture here says in verse 7, "Canst thou by searching find out God?" Well, we can. Some. But notice what he says. "Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection?" not fully. Not to completeness. That's what the word perfection there is. It is not in all His completeness. Not in all His glory, can we? In the 37th chapter of the book of Job. Job chapter 37. And look with me here at verse 23. It says, "Touching the Almighty, we cannot find Him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment, and in plenty of justice, He will not afflict." This verse tells us that touching the Almighty, concerning the Almighty now, is concerning Him. We cannot find Him out. And you think about it. There's times and I desire to go to the Word of God, and I desire to see greater visions of Him. Sometimes I even pray about it, about seeing more. Lord, don't just let me read to be reading. Let me see You. And sometimes I come away disappointed. And I have made it a practice for years to even when I'm just reading through the Bible, to pick at least one verse out of my reading. What, three chapters, say about three chapters a day, three, four chapters a day is what you average. Pick at least one verse out that stands out, that is special blessing to you. But yet, and sometimes some of those verses that I see, they're verses that, yes, I've known before. And have gleaned truth from it before. But you know, then sometimes he gives me a verse and I say, that's been there all this time? All the times that I've read through this book, and that verse has been there? And I get excited. Because I've seen something that stood out that I hadn't seen before. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 28. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28, we read, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. I mean, you can't fully know Him. I mean, we can search and search the Scriptures and we can read it through every year, all of the years of our lives. Or as a child of God, at least. And we won't know all there is to know about Him. And to turn to a more familiar passage of Scripture that probably everyone here knows is there in Romans chapter 11 and in verse 33, and maybe one or two could at least quote it. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. You see, we can't completely know it. We only know Him in bits and pieces and parts. Passage of Scripture, I think that we read last week in the book of Job, and actually, I think we only read one verse from it. I'd like to read several verses there. Job chapter 26. Because Job goes over some things here before he makes that comment. In verse 5 he said, dead things are formed from under the waters, and the inhabitants thereof. Hell is naked before Him, and destruction hath no covering. In case you're void of understanding what those two verses are talking about, he's talking about that He's even the Lord. He's even the sovereign Lord over the dead. Those that we've laid their bodies in the grave, He's still Lord of them. That's going to be made very evident one day when those bodies come forth from the grave. You see? Verse 7, He stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. He bindeth up the waters in His thick clouds, and the cloud is not rent under them. He holdeth back the face of His throne and spreadeth His cloud upon it. He hath compassed the waters with bounds until the day and night come to an end. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at His reproof. He divideth the sea with His power, and by His understanding He smiteth through the proud. By His Spirit He hath garnished the heavens. His hand hath formed the crooked serpent. And by looking into all those things, we ought to see some of the magnificent and mighty power of Almighty God by looking into those things. But look what Job says here. He says, lo, these are parts of His ways. You see, what we have revealed to us in the Word of God is just part of Him. It's just glimpses of Him and His glory. Yet we see the brightness. We see the reflection of the fire from the thick cloud. The thick cloud is covering. We see the brightness. Some of the brightness. Moses saw God's bad parts. Didn't see His face. Didn't see His glory. You remember that passage of Scripture in Exodus chapter 3. He didn't see all His glory. But yet when Moses came down out of the mountain, what happened? And this is just part of His glory. He shone so brightly that the children of Israel could not look on Him. You see? And that was just seeing part of the glory of God. Probably another message in there, isn't there, brother? That we ought to... We see parts of God's glory. We ought to be shining so brightly that it's a witness, it's a testimony to others as well. You say you've seen the Lord with the eye of faith? Where's your glow? Where's the glow that is emanating forth? We have some light concerning God. We praise God for the light that we get, and I praise Him for the light that He's shown me from the book. But I know there's so much more, and I desire so much more. The brightness which encompasses. However, we don't see that brightness as we should. We don't see that brightness as we shall one day see it. Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. The book of 1 Corinthians. And you've heard me use these verses before. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I want to read verse 1 along with verse 2 tonight. Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Well, what's he say about knowledge? Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Knowledge puffeth up. that's the natural course of man, isn't it? Men are getting smart, and they're getting bigger headed. Some people I can't hardly stand to watch because they just walking around, they're scratching their head out here. That doesn't happen to Christians, right? With the truth of God's Word, does it? Does it? Oh, it doesn't happen to you, does it? It doesn't happen to me, does it? Sometimes we get pretty big head thinking, look at everything I know about the Word of God. Well, notice the next verse. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. In fact, I say, I know nothing. Even with all that the Lord has been pleased to give me light of from His Word, I know nothing. Even that which I know, I don't know it yet like I ought to know it. To finish the verse. Let us keep that in mind. You say, well, how can that be? How can God have shown us something about Himself, showed us something from His Word, and we don't know it yet as we ought to know it? Turn with me to chapter 10. He says this in verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them, unto Israel, for in samples. They were a model, they were a pattern for us. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth. You think you know something? You think you're standing on the truth of the Word of God? What's it say? Take heed, lest he fall. Listen, that's a big concern to me, folks. Because I've heard of so many pastors. I'm talking about all kind of pastors. Who some of the truths that I love and preach and love dearly and that you love dearly and teach. And as time's going on, they drifted away from it. They said, well, I believed that once. I don't anymore. Or they'll say, well, I believe that, but I don't preach it anymore. If you believe it, how can you not preach it? I can't help it. I don't mean to dwell on any truth from the Word of God to just belabor it. I try to want and my desire to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. But listen, when you see something and you believe it, sometimes it's just there. And everywhere you turn, everywhere you look, the truth is there. He said to us in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 3, he said, same warning, for if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Listen, I'm nothing. I stand before you with fear and trembling. And I'm nothing. Hey, if God doesn't speak through me, it's wasted breath. You see, it has to be God. It has to be His Spirit working. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse that we read last week. You see, here's the problem. For now we see through a glass darkly. You see, it's through a dark glass. We're hampered with this sinful flesh. We're hampered by sin. And so it's the things that we see, we're seeing with a cloud, in a cloud. We're seeing glimpses and pieces of it. But then, face to face, oh, when He comes, when we're with Him, we're going to see Him face to face. Now I know in part. That's the truth. I only know in part now. But then shall I know, even as also I am known. Even as He knows me, then am I going to know Him. A greater and a better way. What a revelation. When God manifests His wrath against sin and against the sinner, His holiness, His justice will appear very glorious. Will it not? Which we that are saved shall forever admire, shall ever adore. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms in chapter 52. I know we read this portion of Scripture a couple weeks ago, but it fits in with tonight's. the righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. That is the wicked at the evil when God brings them to their destruction. We shall laugh. Why? Why? Because we're ever adoring, we're ever revering Him, we're all, ever standing in awe of His holiness and His greatness. We read in Psalms 96. Psalms 96 in verse 9 said, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth." Oh, because we stand in awe of our great God. Oh, we want to worship Him in the beauty of holiness. We can't wait. We long for the day when we will be made holy like as He is holy. See, we know that our standing is such a one right now. But we're still hampered in this body of sin. You've heard the saying concerning those who don't believe in the eternal security of the believers. Well, if I believe that way, I go out here and sin all I wanted to. Well, I do sin. I sin more than I want to. You see, I don't want to sin at all. And back to our text. That out of this fire, said a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as out of the midst of the fire, out of the brightness of it thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire, out of this fire, or the cloud, there shines something as the color of amber. We, you can imagine if you got a flame of fire and it's unfolding itself and there's the cloud and there's a brightness about it, you can imagine, well, it's kind of an amber glow, isn't it? Seems so to me. I mean, it seemed like a logical picture. This appears to be, to me, to be representative of Christ. For what he says in verses 26 and 27, he says, "And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about it." Now this is a vision of God. Specifically, I believe, a picture of the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Some think this burning coals or this color of amber was representative of the pure light of Christ. He being the brightness of His Father's glory. However, I got a bit of a problem with that. What's pure light? To me, that's closer to pure light than amber. You see where I'm going? Jesus Christ is pure light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He's pure light. This amber does not, this color of amber does not represent the pure light of Christ. I show you. Turn with me to the book of Revelation. In chapter 21, it starts the chapter out saying, I saw in verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. He saw the new city, the holy Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven as a bride prepared for her husband. Come with me over here to the verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, having the glory of God. What's the glory of God? Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Now drop up here to verse 19. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold. Don't think that's amber. Look at the next phrase. As it were, transparent glass. It's not an amber color. It's not a yellowish color like we said. It's transparent glass. It's pure gold. Transparent glass. I don't know, somebody like me, afraid of heights, going to do it. Man. You know, a woman fell to her death at the Grand Canyon here a couple of weeks ago from Orlando. But they talk about that glass thing that goes out over, and you can walk out there. You ain't going to catch me walking out on that glass thing. No way. But I guess I won't. I guess all fear will be gone, won't it? In heaven. Okay. Transparent glass. I'm not done yet. Verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. What is the glory of God? The glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, reflects the glory of God, and we, His church, are to reflect His glory. We are His glory, you see. And the city had, we read that. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. You see, there's pure light of the Son of God. The pure light of Jesus Christ. It reflects the glory of God. And I got this picture. You know, he's the light. He's the light of the world. That world there, he's the light of the world. And you got streets of gold, transparent as glass. And Jesus is shining brightly. Can you just see all that light reflecting off of that gold streets of gold and off all those stones that are therein? Wow. What a sight. And we think we get glimpses of we get visions of God down here. You see, we ain't seen nothing yet, fellas. We haven't seen anything yet. You see, now, to get to this color of amber quickly, and then we'll close. Well, I don't know how quick. Turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. You see, this color of amber, it appears to me to correlate with what we have in the 15th verse of Revelation, chapter 1. John describing Jesus Christ here. He said, "And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters." Look at that fine brass, and it appears that it was a mixture of either gold and silver, or gold and brass. Anyhow, it would have been the color of amber. You see, it is representative of the two natures in Christ. The preciousness of his person. Oh, he's precious. Is he not? He's precious. And the brightness and glory, as well as his great strength and power. You see, his feet, which encompasses his legs. You know, your feet encompass the legs. And there's our strength, folks. Thinking about it, my son in high school, 5'7", 6", 157 pounds, soaking wet, playing center on the football team. And I said, "What's he got you at center for?" "I don't know, Dad, because I'm good there." He says, "I plow through there." Okay. Well, I found out why. He was just this puny kid, but his legs were strong as an ox. They put him on that sled in football, and he would push 750 pounds. You see, legs and feet are symbolic of great strength. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. Try to bring this to a close. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're talking about his preciousness, his brightness and glory, and also representing his great strength and power. In verse 4 says, of chapter 2 of 1 Peter, it says, "To whom coming," that is Christ, "as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." He is the chief cornerstone. He's precious. And he's the chief cornerstone. To be the cornerstone, what do you got to be? Great strength. Great power. Yeah, I think we've lost the significance of cornerstones in our buildings today, the buildings that are built. We depend on the foundations and the block and mortar and that kind of thing. But when they used cornerstones, that was, it served several purposes. To keep the building true, and also strength was signified there. So he is precious and also reveals to us great strength and power. John chapter 1. The book of John. Chapter 1. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Chapter 17. Chapter 17 and verse 22. And the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as We are one, I in them, and Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me, and hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me. Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given Me, be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory, which Thou hast given Me, for Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world. Oh, He's precious. And closing with Matthew chapter 24. He's precious, and the glory that we shall behold is the glory of the Father in Him. Matthew 24 and in verse 30 we read, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Oh, He's going to be coming in all His glory, but He's going to be coming in power. He's going to have power to destroy all the nations of the earth that have gathered to do battle against Him. Shall we stand, be dismissed in a word of prayer? Brother France, would you dismiss us?